Amen. There's no doubt we live in a world that is full of instability. Nothing seems certain and nothing seems reliable in this world of ours. And you know that for sure. There's no security in the workplace. There's very little security in relationships. And it seems that everything either stands or falls on such a shallow foundation that it could all crumble around us. In the last number of years, I'm sure you became aware, as I have, that follow the news bulletins and listen to world media, that there have been natural disasters that have shaken countries and continents, Australia, the fires and the floods in other places, and those disasters naturally that have happened in the world that has literally toppled countries and nations and governments. There have been floods and famines and storms. There have been freak weather conditions. And of course, we know that all of these things point to the last of the last days. Even in the business and in the financial world, it's still reeling from past recessions, just about to recover. And then we have COVID-19 bringing the political and the governmental and the economy into chaos once again. In society, I believe we're witnessing the moral collapse of anything that is profoundly biblical and scriptural. Every moral fibre of society has been torn apart by the lobbyists and by the liberals who seek to change just for change's sake. And there's nothing else we can say about that. I believe that the great pillars of society that have brought great blessing to our nation and to Europe and even the continents of the world, they've almost been torn down. And as Psalm 11 says, and the psalmist decries in his day, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And how true that is. Those great pillars of society, the word of God, the purity of the church, if those pillars are taken out of society, and if the salt is removed, then you have nothing left but corruption. And we know that there's nothing in this present world that can stand in and of itself. We live in an unstable and in an unreliable world. And I'm sure you will agree with me. However, in a world of instability, I want to remind you as a Christian that we have foundations that cannot be shaken. The church, and I'm talking about the invisible body of Christ, that is, all who are truly born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb, the church, the believer. So that takes in you as an individual. And this fellowship here in Cumber Free Presbyterian Church, we have solid ground upon which we can stand in a world full of instability. For the Bible speaks here in Hebrews 12 of those things which cannot be shaken. And yet God himself promised through Haggai, and Paul reminds Hebrew believers when he wrote to them and those who would read scripture and understand that God will shake the nations. Not only will he shake this world again, but God also will shake the very heavens. And when the Lord returns again, we read in Revelation 6, there will be a great earthquake. And there's earthquakes that today are measuring far higher than have ever measured before. And there are seismic shifts in the earth, but there's going to be one final earthquake that literally will tear this earth apart, and the mountains will quake, and the rocks will fall, and the ungodly will run from the Lamb, and they'll seek refuge even under falling rocks, and they'll not be able to die as a seeking a way out of meeting God in judgment. And yet the Bible says, in the midst of all of that shaking, remember we did the lock up Psalm, Psalm 46. It speaks about the waters being troubled and the mountains shaking with the swelling thereof. All reminders of that last day when God will shake the nations of this earth. And then Paul reminds believers that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And they're the foundations upon which your faith and mine and the Church of Jesus Christ is builded upon. And this evening I want to draw your attention as we come to the place of prayer, of those things which cannot be shaken. I want you to think first of all that the throne of God cannot be shaken. Our God reigns. The throne of God cannot be shaken. Our God reigns. In Psalm 47, we read these words, "For God is the King of all the earth. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." Where is the Lord? I'll tell you where he is. He's on the throne of the universe. That's where he is. Society like to put God in a little matchbox. Some would like to raise a tower like the Tower of Babel and fire an arrow into the heart of the Almighty in order to kill off God. Legislation would like to legislate God out of existence and his rule down to something that you can treat as an opinion, or you can throw it in the trash can if you want. But I want to tell you as a believer, and we need to re-establish in these wonderful truths, the throne of God reigns. God is in control of this earth. He's in control of all things. In 1 Chronicles we read in chapter 16 that we are to fear before him. All the earth, the world also shall be stable. It'll be kept together. And this is the reason why, that it cannot be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. And then in the last book of your Bible, when the end time comes, we will have the same message to preach and the same foundation to stand upon. And as I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. The Hallelujah chorus literally is founded upon these very words, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he shall reign forever and forever and forever. And we know that the kingdoms and the thrones of this earth, they have all toppled. Some of the great empires that you have ever known. The Babylonian Empire, gone. The Persian Empire, gone. The Empire of the Medes, gone. Alexander the Great and all his accomplishments, gone. The Roman Empire, although some people believe in prophecy, it will return again in the last days. And it's very interesting just to hear how people deal with the Bible. And it'll be very interesting for you, and might not be just as edifying for you, to look at the old Roman Empire and see what countries were included in it and so on. And if it is to rise at the end of the golden age, as they call it, of peace in the earth, which is not going to happen, because things are going to get worse. But the kingdoms of men have toppled. Governments have fallen. God raises up one and he brings down another. And God is sovereign. He hasn't repealed his law. Nations have not deposed God. He's still upon the throne. Man's rule, short and fleeting as it is, their empires have all been shaken by many a storm and many a scandal. However, the reign of God has never been overthrown. It's never been pulled down. It has never been shaken by a storm, and it's never been shaken by a scandal. It's been challenged, but it's never been conquered. It's been attacked, but it's never been defeated. It's been slandered, denied, fiercely opposed, but the throne and the rule of God in this universe, as the supreme governor of the nations and as the head of the church, we can say, it stands strong and it stands sure and it will never be shaken. Our God reigns. Now, if we had a nation on earth that ruled the earth and could never be shaken, if we had a leader that we could put our faith and trust in and be loyal to in among the sons of Adam's fallen sinful race, many of those nations would rally round, and you would get what is known as proselytes coming in from other nations to be part of that nation. And they will literally embrace the creed and the culture and even the religion of that nation for security. But they can't find security in any nation. And even those Muslim and Arab nations, they're fleeing to the Western society and they're looking for refuge. And we know that even now, immigrants are coming into this country as we speak. They're being brought in through boats and through other means. And we know they're being shipped in by lorries at ferries. And recently there we saw evidence of that and the death toll behind it all. But I want to tell you something. There's not a nation and a government and a people that's stable in the world. But the child of God, we have a kingdom that cannot be moved. We have a God whose throne can never be shaken. Listen to me. We should realize that no one can impede the plan of God. His will be done. Isn't that what our Lord Jesus taught us to pray? That thy will, which is done in heaven, will also be done on earth. That's part of the prayer the Lord taught his disciples. And it really is the disciples' prayer. Because the Lord never needed to pray that prayer, forgive us our trespasses. He had no sin of his own. But it teaches us that it's a prayer and a pattern for prayer we should pray every day. God's will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And that's exactly what's happening. Nothing can hinder the divine hand. No devil in hell. No angel in heaven. And we say that with respect to holy highest archangels. No man upon the earth can stop or destroy the supreme rule of God in this created earth. Our God reigns and he does so forever and forever. Now what a comfort that ought to be for you as a believer. Everything in this world, name it. Everything in this world is under the control of our God. He is the governor of the nations. And he is the ruler of the earth. And his throne is all powerful. And he has all authority. Did not our Lord Jesus Christ say, all power, the word means authority, is given unto me. And he's king of the earth. He rules and reigns in the affairs of mankind. Governments are not meeting to plan a strategy for the world. Governments are not meeting in order that they might plan a way forward with the economy. I want to tell you, they may have their part. That office may be ordained of God, but God controls. And the Bible tells me that even the population in a democratic society is under the control of God. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And I want to tell you, the king's heart is not the government's heart. It's not. The king's heart represents the people in a democratic society that votes in a government. Even that heart, which is impossible, not one single politician with all of their charisma and with all of their gifts and talents and all of their intelligence, not one single politician could command the heart to vote for them. In Northern Ireland, at least, there are countries where you're forced to vote for individuals under threat of death. But in a democratic free society, not one single politician could command the heart of the nation. They might get part enough to get them elected, but that's it. But they're really elected on a minority when you consider so many who didn't vote for them. But yet that heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he turns it whithersoever, listen to it, he will. And as the rivers of water flow, and you can't stop that river flowing. But I want to tell you something. While man could direct a river and change its course and divert it, God can change a nation. And he's in control. God can deal with legislation in this country if he so pleases. God can deal with the scandals that's going on with abortion and the sodomite issue, and he can deal with all of those things that are anti-Christian. I want to tell you something. It's a comforting thought tonight to know that there are those things that cannot be shaken, and one of them is the throne of God. Our God reigns. So there's nothing happening. If we want to bring it down to an individual's life, if God is concerned and has a care and he looks after the entire world, do we not read our Lord Jesus says that not one sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father? What does that mean? Is he the cause of that sparrow hitting a telegraph line or hitting a glass window in your house? No. What it means is there's not one sparrow falls to the ground without the knowledge and permissive will of a holy God. That's what it means. He sees everything, every single thing. I guarantee you, you have not seen in a long time a sparrow being killed. Now, I'm not saying you haven't killed one. I'm just saying you haven't seen one hitting a telegraph pole or a wire or a glass or maybe even being taken by a hawk. Maybe you have if you're in the farming community. You say, well, I see it every day. But what I will say to you, there's not one. Now, if you see one, let's say today there were 35,000 encumber sparrows or birds killed. God knows every single one that fell to the ground. And that God who looks after this creation is in control of your life. You can trust him. Oh, you can trust him. And you need to do something again that you've done many a time. And you need to do it again. You need to take everything and just put it into his hand. And you need to trust him. For we have a throne and a God who cannot be shaken. And there's nothing can shake God or cause him to tremble. I want to say something to you, that everything that's happening in your life right now, it's not left to chance. It's not confusion. It's not chaos. It's not disorder. It's not out of control. I want to tell you something. It's governed meticulously. The very pressure you're under, the very measure of that pressure, the very amount of worry that you have and anxiety you feel is even governed by your God. And he rules in your life and mine. And I want to tell you something, that whether it's good or bad or whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, the Lord is working for you and for your good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What a comfort to know. The throne of God cannot be shaken. Our God reigns. And I say secondly, not only the throne of God cannot be shaken, but I want to tell you the Christ of God cannot be shaken. Our God, our Savior, redeems yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, Jesus never. Glory to his name. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. And he is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. So Malachi 3:6 refers to Christ. I am the Lord, I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, Christ can never be shaken in his love for you. The devil may try to divide between you and your God. The devil may succeed in tempting you to sin so that the heart of your God is grieved and the Holy Spirit is offended. But I want to tell you something. It will never change the love he has for you. It will never change the compassion that he shows to you. It will never alter one bit the mercy he bestows upon you. I want to tell you something. The Christ of God cannot be shaken. And he's the same. The same one who saved you from hell. Is he going to leave you in despair now? The one who delivered you from the biggest problem you had in life and all eternity, sin. Is he so uncaring now that he won't deal with your problem now? Of course he will. He never changes. He can never be shaken. Human love can. People could be married for 60 years and their marriage could be, as they tell you, my marriage is on the rocks. That means it's being broken up. That means it's at rock bottom. That means literally it's over. But 60 years, I know, I never would have believed it. What happened? I can't really say. But there's nothing there anymore. It's gone. And all the love has been frustrated. And we're now separating. It's over. You know, even relationships and friendships that have been trusted for decades have broken up. And I want to tell you something, that your relationship with Christ will never be shattered. It will never be destroyed. I want to tell you, Christ's love for you and all that he's promised good for you, he will perform. And no matter what happens, and I want to put it like this, I want to remind you on one hand that the Lord says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I want to tell you that Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? I want to tell you that Paul said, Christ loved me and he gave himself for me. Now I want you to show you in the other hand. There it is, unbelief. And then God's love in Christ to me. Will it shake his love for me? Unbelief, even when I don't believe, even when I can't trust, even when I feel that the Bible isn't going to come true, and I feel I've let the Lord down, and I haven't got the faith of others. Will it affect his love for me? I want to tell you, no, it won't. What about coldness of heart? All those verses of Christ's love being the same. Will it not frustrate if I'm cold at heart? Will he not love me less because I'm not doing his will? No, he won't. He will not. Because nothing can shake the Savior's redemptive purpose for you when he died for your sins at the cross. Yesterday, and I put Christ, and we usually would put it yesterday God. Yesterday Christ loved me. Today he did the same. How long will this continue? Forever. Praise his name. For yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, child of God. All will change. And you've seen it around you. Things have changed in your situation. Things have changed in this world. Things have changed in your heart, your life, your home. Everything is subject to change. But the Lord never changes. He never changes. And therefore the Christ of God cannot be shaken. His blood keeps me clean, for it'll never lose its power. His grace keeps me going on with him, because it's sufficient. I want to tell you, his love inspires me to high and holy living, for he loves me with an everlasting love. His mercy alone comforts my heart like nothing else in this world, and it'll never dry up. I want to tell you, his goodness satisfies my soul. His compassions fail not. Have you not read that in the Word? What does it mean? If it doesn't mean his compassions fail not. His care never ceases. The Christ of God cannot be shaken. Our God redeems. What an incentive for evangelism. Because we know that God's redemptive purpose in Christ will be fulfilled. Let me move on very quickly. The throne of God cannot be shaken. The Christ of God cannot be shaken. You know, and I'm sure you're preempting this, the Word of God. The Word of God cannot be shaken. His Word is right. The Word of God, that which is hated by the world. You go out and you read that Word in public. Don't preach. Don't pray. Don't sing. Don't read poems. Don't have anybody testify. Don't have any soloists. Don't have any music playing. Just get a microphone, and if you don't have a microphone, just stand someday and open up a copy of the Bible. They know what it is, and then just start to read little portions of Scripture, and you will feel the reproach and the hatred that men and women have for the Word of God. And we know that governments now are legislating contrary to the Word of God. They are not governed. They are not helped. They are not given wisdom by the Word. The nation does not stand on the Word of God. Society has abandoned the Word of God. Does that mean the Word of God is irrelevant? Does it mean it's outdated, as we're told by society today? Does it not mean that this book should be banned because it's not up to date and it's not politically correct? And you need to rip a lot of pages out. Romans 1 would be a start, which condemns homosexuality and lesbianism. And the Bible says that. Do you want to know something? One of the biggest outcries ever was whenever a Christian group got a lot of money together and they paid for an advertisement in the Daily Mail, a very conservative paper, and they carried the advertisement. And all they did was carried Romans chapter 1. That's all they did. And the section against man and man, woman with woman. That's all they did. They just literally, there was nothing added, nothing even taken from it. The pure Word of God. And the outcry to that newspaper and the letters to the editor and the outcry in society, you've never heard the like of it. And that's all they did. They just quoted the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. No matter how much this Word is hated, No matter what governments do, I want to tell you something. They have banned the Bible before, and they have banned it to such a degree for centuries. The Bible is banned in many countries. Do you know that? The Bible is banned in many countries. But can I tell you something? The Word of God is prospering in those countries. It's prospering more in countries where it's banned than countries where it's free to be preached. And woe to our nation and to the people of Ulster. They've had the Bible for years and they've despised the Word of God. I want to tell you, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It cannot be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away. You'll see it. And guess what? When it all passes away, what will remain? The Word of God. It'll never pass away. Now, what a foundation we have to stand upon for the assurance of our salvation, for every promise in the book which is mine. What an authority we have to challenge a Bible denying, a Christ rejecting, a God hating world, the Word of God, the sure word of prophecy. What a comfort there is for weary, downcast, tried and tested believers tonight. So long as we have a thus saith the Lord, we have peace. We have joy, rest, strength. We have great comfort. I'm resting on the Word of God. I took time today to read the Bible and to understand the Bible and to pray over the Bible and ask God for a word from Himself, and He has given it to me. I'm resting on it. I'm standing on it. And that doesn't mean storms aren't around me. That's not to say there are problems, no problems in my life. Listen to me. I'm standing on a solid rock and I cannot be moved. Is there a burdened soul tonight? Present, or maybe listening. Is there a word from God for you? Yes, there is. Casting all your care upon Him, He careth for you. Is there a lonely soul tonight, sitting in a crowd, yet you are lonely? Yes, there is. Isaiah 41:10. I want to tell you, we'd go through the whole Bible, couldn't we? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Is there a confused soul tonight? Just doesn't know which way to turn. I want to tell you, is there a word from God for you? Yes. And can it be shaken? No. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I'll be exalted among the heathen. Is there a worried soul? Worried about employment? Worried about your health? Worried about finance, worried about other things. Can I say to you, is there a word from God for me today to comfort my heart upon which I can stand? Yes, there is. What about Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What about Psalm 23, verse 1? You know, that verse 1 jumped out at me this past while, as if it was jumping out at me and crying, preach me, preach me. I know a preacher one time and he says, as one man said to him, or he was talking to us one time in Bible college, and this minister came and he says, you know, Bible verses are jumping out at me saying, preach me, preach me. And this man turned around and he says, there are Bible verses jumping out at me saying, don't preach me again. I think he'd preached them about 400 times, the only one sermon he had. But I want to tell you something. Psalm 23 is jumping out at me. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And it's these words, I shall not want. I shall not want. I want to tell you something. That verse was running to this pulpit, demanding I preach on it from yesterday. That verse was in my heart, on my mind, and I had to pray over these verses. I had to ask God, which word, Lord? There's one I prepared, and the Lord set it aside. Well, it has to be this one, and God set that aside. That's for another day, no doubt. No doubt whatsoever. That text will come to this pulpit. It is sure to visit this house, believe me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the verse God has given to us. Those things which cannot be shaken. I want to say finally, and that should be fourthly, the church of God cannot be shaken. His church remains. I don't mean a building. The temple's gone. It was destroyed in AD 70, burned with fire, desecrated by the slaying of a pig in the holy place by Titus and the Roman soldiers and so on and so on. I want to tell you something. What I mean by the church is the body of all believers. Jesus Christ said, the Son of God upon which the church is built, not Peter. His statement concerning Christ being the Son of God, upon this rock-like statement, you could paraphrase it, upon what the words that you have just said, Peter, not on you, Peter, as Rome says. That's false teaching. That's heresy. That's a foundation of sand. I want to tell you the rock is Christ, and upon that rock-like statement you've made about me, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that you're in Christ? Aren't you glad that your sins are forgiven? Aren't you glad that you're part of the true church, not the free church? Aren't you glad that you're a member of his body, that you're among the communion of saints, that you're the elect of God, the redeemed of the earth? Aren't you glad that you're saved? Because Christ and his church can never be shaken. Oh, listen to me. The Judases will betray us, and the Herods will seek to kill our children. I want to tell you something. Cain will always slay righteous Abel, but the church remains. And listen to me, they can do what they like to Cumber Free Church. They can bring any law out they want to force us to do this, that, and the other. But I want to tell you something. They will never kill the witness and the testimony of the church. God will see to it. Because they are foundations and they are things that cannot be shaken. I want to tell you the cancer of apostasy has never killed the church. I want to tell you that the disease, and that's what I call it, of liberalism has never killed nor destroyed the body of Christ's church on earth. The poison of ecumenism, which is rife today in so-called Christendom, will never stop the heartbeat of the body of Christ on earth. The schisms of men, the betrayals of Judas, the murderous plots of King Herod, the schemes of the devil. I want to tell you the schemes and programs of devils and demons, and the very denials of atheism and the mockery of humanism and the threat of false religion and the legislation of governments can never and will never shake the true church of Jesus Christ. I will build my church, he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I tell you, isn't it good to be saved? It really is. I'm telling you, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord and to know that everything in this world that's crumbling, we have foundations that cannot be shaken. The throne of God, our God reigns. The Christ of God, our God redeems to the uttermost. We're kept by the power of God. I want to tell you the word of God cannot be shaken. His word is right. I want to tell you that the church of Christ cannot be shaken. I want to say to you now, we have foundations that cannot be moved. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. We come to a season of prayer.